Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline, with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's so
fun. Delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
As we get after it on a Thursday afternoon right here on the grid, it's Donnie Wrightside, it's Kevin Walsh, it's Moneyline, and we are ready to go. Why? William Dirt McGirt tied for 29th right now at even par through two holes. Here we go, people! Yeah! Oh, man, I can feel it.
Oh, wow. You just made me realize I should check in on the odds boost there. Hope that's going well for me.
Who do we got again? What is the odds boost today for that again?
Hovland?
Uh-huh.
Thigala and Connors to make the cut.
Hovland, Thigala, and Connors. Let's see. Hovland is minus one. I shot minus one today, so solid. The leader, by the way, is through 15 holes. Mark Hubbard is six under par.
Very good.
Let me slide down. So we got Hovland. Let's see. Some of these guys haven't teed off yet, so I'm just trying to see if I can scroll down and find my guy McGirt. Should have been on there. I mean, no doubt, even through two.
Yeah.
Looks like he's headed for a banner day out here. Who are the other two? What was the three again?
Hovland, Connors. He's not started yet. And then Thigala.
Okay. Yeah, where's my guy Thigala? Is he underway? Does he start Thigala?
No.
No, he hasn't. No, yeah. Yeah, you got a long day. You got to hold on for a long day over there.
But you know what? This is good. Because that means tomorrow, you'll know early, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's good, actually, I would argue.
Get the weekend started in style. Talking about getting the weekend started in style, I know it's only Thursday, but the Heat and the Nuggets started up tonight, and a ton of bets are out there. So we'll peruse and see if we can get the best of the bunch. No odds boost out yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I know DraftKings usually chips in one of those $25 decent wagers as well that you can get down on. I'm already in on a couple today, obviously with the same game parlay that we did on the early line. And then I also use the Bleacher Report, I want to say, or Ringer, one of those two, is a odds boost that you can use. Not an odds boost. What is it? A profit boost.
Excuse me.
So I picked out a good one here. I'll explain that a little bit later. But there are three Major League Baseball games beginning in the 1 o'clock hour. Milwaukee Brewers, Toronto Blue Jays, Philadelphia Phillies, New York Mets, San Diego Padres, and the Miami Marlins. I didn't take anything. Yesterday on the air, I did go with two. Get this one, Kev. You'll love this. So. Typical Wednesday afternoon, got Major League Baseball. I'm saying this is what we're going to attack today. I take Marcus Semien to have an RBI. I think he was plus 40, 145. And then also Adolis Garcia, who has 49 RBI on the season. He was at a plus 135. I said, you know what? Wentz is on the mound, bad pitcher for Detroit. Let's have some fun. Leadoff batter comes out Semien. Kevin hits ball 417, not for a home run. 417, not for an HR. 24 out of 30 ballparks that would have been a home run wasn't there. So then we get Seager, I believe, singled at the time as the second batter or third batter. Well, whatever came up here. Fourth guy in the lineup, Adolis Garcia. Man on first base, which is Seager. Ropes a double down the line. Seager decides to take his time and hold it third. So right off the bat, I'm like, I hit a ball 417 and I got a double with a runner on base. And with two outs, too. Not like, okay, let's hold him. There's no outs. I'm like, two outs. And I couldn't get a run scored there. And then throughout the game as well, a full count to Marcus Semien. Bases loaded. He ended up popping out. So it was close for a while, but, you know, guys are getting doubles out here. Nobody's on base. It was just one of those days in the afternoon, which I was just screaming from. You know how you get that feeling after one inning? It's like, now I know I'm going to have probably five more bats out of each guy, but come on now. That's how it felt.
Yeah, yesterday I jumped on two early team totals on the off day. One of them was the Angels, and Ohtani and Trout took care of that. And then it was the Cubs, and they scored two runs in the first inning. It was a team total of 3.5. They're at home. I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go. You know, they managed to stall out. But what made it like 10 times more frustrating is they ended up getting so locked into those games, I forgot to even like look at the remaining of the day baseball window. And there was a lot of overs that were given out there where it's like, oh man, if I would have came across something there, like odds are maybe could have had a, pull back a couple. So that was frustrating. I actually do have a bet in right now. You might not like it. That's okay. But I'm taking a shot on this 8.5 for Mets Phillies here. Scherzer has not been. Yeah, he's not been phenomenal against this lineup. You know, this is the first time apparently he's ever going to pitch against Trey Turner, which I thought was interesting there. I guess not surprising, maybe, because they were kind of teammates at all the times. But it just, when I read it there, I was like, oh, wow, that is pretty neat. So they've got some good numbers, and Taijuan Walker's not spectacular there. So I'm on that 8.5 to the over right now in Mets Phillies.
Yeah, nice to have a couple baseball games on. By the way, yesterday, you know I like to do my round robin. So I ended up yesterday, I lost $20 on one, won $85 on the other. But I essentially, Kevin, had a $250+ at bat on Matt Olson yesterday, late in the game. Kevin, second and third, nobody out, Caprillion on the mound. So there's not even, because the runner stole second base like midway through the at bat, so technically it's counted as that. Ground ball anywhere. $250 hits my account on top of what I won, that $85, because with a round robin, it starts to ping pong around the more you get. Strikes out. My guy struck out. I said, unbelievable. Like, if any other pitcher was in there, just a right-hand just clown would have worked out. But Caprillion, I give him credit. He almost hit Olson three times. Like, I don't even like this anymore. Let me just strike out and go sit back down in the dugout. Oh, it was crushing as I watched it here. But a new day, new money, and the NBA Finals, which we are going to get started on next. Don't go anywhere. It's Monday for a Thursday afternoon edition. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Thursday afternoon. Feeling good. Weather conditions here, Northeast. Ooh! Just so nice here. We had rain, Kevin, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I swear it hasn't rained since, which I am absolutely loving right now, which is great for baseball. No postponements here. I'm watching the Phillies on one TV. I'm watching Toronto on the other. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky in either one of these ball games, so it is nice to have. But I do feel kind of underwhelmed this afternoon because you say, hey, Donnie, man, you're going to go live on the air. You got three games that you can get after right away. And I couldn't find myself actually picking which one I like best. Not actually to say a side, because I do think the San Diego Padres are a decent side. I'm not going to lie, against the Miami Marlins. But I wanted to sort of string together two RBI props. And I was close to going on Fernando Tatis and Kim, who's actually up now in the leadoff spot for the San Diego Padres. But sort of laid off, because I'm really getting analytical on a couple things and making sure I'm making the right plays as opposed to just throwing stuff out there and see if it works, even though it passes the eye test. But with Luzardo, the splits at home and away between right-handed batters, completely different. So I laid off there. And again, it doesn't always work out. Like, oh, that's, you can't take that at this point. You know, the Padres could wind up with seven runs today and Tatis has a grand slam. But those are just the numbers I looked at. Yesterday, I was comfortable, enjoyed what I saw. That actually didn't work out. Today, I sort of laid low. So I'm going to see what is actually what. And by the way, Philadelphia Phillies game here, one out. Trey Turner hit a double, I can't say a double down the line, but you know his speed, right? Rifles one by the third baseman, hits the wall and like takes that weird angle. Like Trey Turner only ended up with a single on that. If it goes by, over to the wall, he might even have a triple. He got a single.
Inside the park home run.
Exactly. A little bit of a bad break as Bryce Harper comes up today. But Scherzer, three straight really good starts. We'll see if the Phillies can finally break through and do something at this point.
Yeah, one note I'll make here, though, with the you mentioned Blue Jays Brewers. And again, this is something that you've often said to me, like, listen, it's easy for us to, you know, as a bettor, to be upset about the things that don't go our way, but we often forget about the good breaks. And I really wanted to bet the Blue Jays team total yesterday, but I just couldn't get the number that I liked. Because I was like, you know what? Because I remember your Julio Teheran kind of breakdown, the minor league stuff. And I know he was able to get through against, but he was good in that start. He was really good, actually, in the start. Maybe it was the Braves. Again, I'm not positive there, but I'm like, you know what? Now he's at Toronto. That probably doesn't happen twice. Mm-hmm. So I was gonna come in on the Blue Jays. I couldn't get a number. I ended up leaving it alone. And what do you know? You know, he kind of shut them down again, which is interesting, Donnie, that Teheran is all of a sudden now stepping up here for the Brewers, giving them ace-level performances two times through.
And I don't want to believe it, right? But sometimes, eventually, you got to take a look at the statistics and what's going on, because I figured it so yesterday, where you might have been able to pick out just one or two Blue Jay guys and be like, hey, just by default. Like, if they get to Teheran a little bit, and there's going to be some damage out there. But that wasn't the case, and which was really shocking to me. Right. I had Rowdy Tellez, I thought, would get an RBI yesterday. He didn't. But at the same time, there was a lot of things that went correctly with me. And again, it came that afternoon action, man, came down to that last at-bat by Olson. Like, this is going to be a great day. Because with round robins, you don't get the full ballistics, I like to say, of a parlay, right? Hey, seven legs, you hit all seven with $100, man. Sky's the limit. And away you go at that point. And all dogs. I'm like, okay, one's minus 140, one's minus 210. Like, no, we're talking plus 250s, plus 225s, plus 220s. It would have been nice for that to come through. But late night, I actually thought I was going to get stoned, because I put out another six or seven leg, I believe it was, and I actually was like 0 for the first four, which usually means, again, you ain't got nothing. Last three guys of the night all got RBI, which only brought me back to losing $20 as opposed to $100. So wasn't a bad day overall yesterday, and then also cashing in the same game parlay with the Reds yesterday on three baseball players that most people probably never even heard of was tremendous.
I will say, and obviously it's not intentional, but I haven't been in a position yet to do a same game parlay on baseball named yet, which is, again, to me, that's kind of now how I've used the same game parlay segment, the named era and the non-named era. And I actually can't wait. I can't wait to figure out kind of how I'm going to approach kind of name. What did you name the Reds parlay? Do you remember?
Yes, seeing red.
Why? All right.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, it's all right. It fits.
You got to keep it short.
More than the ridiculousness.
Smart,
you did this morning.
Sensible. Fashionable. Oh, it was good today. The golden nuggets, man. That's, I mean, if that doesn't sound like a 2-1 winner, then I don't know what actually is going to happen today. So I am absolutely feeling that there. But how about this, though? Did you like sneaking in the 7-7, Zachy, the big guy from Germany? See how that would flow out to the people.
Yeah. No, you did. I went, what is wrong with this guy? It's just the thing with stuff like that is, right? And I love it because it's such a pop. It gets me. But I have no idea who the viewing audience at a time like that.
They know it. They know the program.
Do you think they know?
Yes.
That you thought Max Strus was from? Come on, man.
Like, it's tremendous. Like, again, like, this is something. Because you want people in the car to driving around. Like, imagine if they never heard me and you talk. And it's like, this idiot just said the big guy from Germany. Like, Zach Eden, I'm pretty sure he's American at this point. But it almost, like, it's an engagement there. That's what. Well, where is he from anyway? Purdue is what I'm saying. He's American. Where is he? Germany? He is Germany, isn't he?
No, he's not. He's not
there's
German
no
either.
Way.
He's Canadian.
Nah, there's no way. That doesn't even make sense. There's no way he's Canadian.
I do now have to quadruple check this, because it'd be great if I did just say that all and that was a lie. But let's quadruple check here. Nearly big thing coming from Team Canada. Yeah, he's from Toronto, Canada, man.
That Come doesn't on, mean dude. He's a Canadian, though, does it? Is that what it means?
You know what? No, you know, fair question. I mean, really.
Like, I mean, international. What does anything could be mean? International. Exactly. You're born in Toronto. Some people just claim France and Toronto, from what I heard at this point. So you never know. What was the one with Wembanyama, by the way? What was that joke about?
Oh.
By the way, Philly's got two runs on the board here. How about this?
Here we go. Here we go. Let's heat it up.
Let's heat it up. Castellanos with a RBI sack fly. They actually had first and second base with one out. And I believe a double steal, which was a throw into like third, a throw into left field. So when Turner stole third, he got home, guy got the third base, knocked him in. I can't even believe the Phillies just got two runs off Scherzer. That's tremendous here. And away we go. All right. It's good for you. It's good for the total there for you.
It's exactly what we were looking for, DRS. We're pumped up about it now. We, you know, because I know you said that the Mets lineup doesn't profile, but Taiwan Walker's certainly vulnerable.
Yeah, he stinks. Yeah, Taiwan's been bad, unless you go with the whole angle of, oh, he knows the Mets. He always liked that, right? Look, he played for the Mets. That means he knows everybody what they don't like. Sure, they do.
Nah.
Typically.
Well, maybe they know him. Can I play that angle? They know maybe him they very well. I like that angle of it all.
Bo Bichette with a rocket to center field for a home run here for the Toronto Blue Jays. So getting to Peralta right away, as we anticipated there. So
can I bring up something super, super quickly here, Major League Baseball? Because I don't know how much time we should even give this. I just want to – have you heard about the Jose Abreu home run celebration?
No. Has he even hit one yet?
Hold on. So beautiful. A couple of days ago, I don't even know when, he hit his first home run of the season.
Wow.
And he sprinted around the base path. Sprinted around it, right? Like blew past home plate, like a nonsensical kind of thing, right?
But like he was scoring on a single from second base.
Yes, like ridiculous, like the way he was kind of trucking along there.
Jesus.
Now, I always, on the side TV, even if I'm not watching, I'll throw MLB Network on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is now, Donnie, 3 days in a row, they got their in-studio panel breaking down, like, him sprinting around the bases. And I think do you have a problem with it? New age baseball. And I'm like, well, how, only in baseball is this a story. Like, are we angry about a Jose Abreu home run celebration for days? Meanwhile, someone like yourself, I only know about it because I have it on the TV. Someone like yourself doesn't even know what's going on here. Only baseball. Only baseball.
Let me see if I can find this.
You got to see the celebration to see maybe you do have a problem with it, which would be hilarious.
Let's see. So it was the home run against the A's on the 28th, from what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, he only, I think, has the one, so it should be.
Gotcha. Barely went out of the ballpark. All right, so he's kicking it in around second base. I see the pitcher getting the ball back. Not really showing too much. Yeah, he actually rounded third like he was scoring. I have zero issue with that. Okay. No. See, now I see what happened here. Okay. Uh-oh. Let's let this simmer over the break here, because I had no issues until about the end here, and now I see it. Old school Donnie sees it. We'll talk about it then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here. Hour number one, Thursday afternoon. And by the way, we got some runs out here, boys. The Philadelphia Phillies 2-0. And also, as I said on the early line, I think there's a pretty good chance here that some right-handed batters can get after Freddy Peralta. They're getting after him. 3 runs scored via 2 home runs here in the bottom of the first inning for the Blue Jays as they lead 3-0. Padres and the Marlins, top of the second inning, no score there. That number automatically drops down to a 6.5 total after one inning. We'll see how far that can go lower. But as watching previously here, a Jose Abreu home run lifts it over the left fielder's head, left fielder's head, just out in the left field. And I'm like, okay, he's running a little fast. Cut away to the pitcher, cut away to the outfielder. Okay, he's running even faster. Don't have any problem with that. Sprinting across home plate, no issue whatsoever. Sprinting after home plate, no real issue there. He's going to get to the dugout. Sliding as if home plate was by the dugout, all by his teammates. There's an issue. And I say, oh, what was that score? Oh, that made it 7-1? Uh-oh, there's an issue now in Major League Baseball with that. I agree now with whoever was questioning that trot around the bases, because if there was no context to it, I didn't mind. If you ended it with him crossing home plate, I'm like, what's the problem here? The final 5 seconds, there's going to be an issue in Major League Baseball with that.
So I'm not going to say I am, oh, I'm so surprised that people are angry about this. But my question is, why are you angry about this? What is the problem? A guy hit a home run and celebrated his home run. Is that not what happened here?
Yeah, but you can celebrate but there is also showing up. Like I said, he's doing something a little bit kooky by running full speed around the bases, which me, I'm like the protector of the unwritten rule at times. I didn't have an issue with that. But the end of it, I could see why there's an issue, because that no longer is about like, hey, this is fun and high fives. This was, I just turned this into a show. And I guess Oakland wouldn't have cared if Oakland was up 7-1. And that was a, oh, well, we were up 7-0. He's got one run. They're just trying to have some fun. Who cares? But when you're getting pounded on and you're a bad baseball team and you just get shown up like that, that does creep in baseball. It does.
So I will say in this, right, he did it, I think, mainly because it was his first home run of the season, right? So that is also Jose Abreu, a guy who has an MVP trophy in his career, right? Playing with a brand new team for the first time, finally kind of doing his part, if you will. That's a part of it. But I guess people are angry about it, if you will, right? But I guess where my preempted frustration, and I don't actually think this happened, is in Major League Baseball, that usually means, hey, we're going to have to throw at this guy. Like, and maybe that was the last game of the series. I'm not sure if it was. But the notion of, all right, the next time the Astros and the Athletics play one another, a guy on the A's is going to have to throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball at Jose Abreu, I find that premise to be one of the single most ridiculous things, honestly, in the history of sports. Simple put. It's one of the most ridiculous things in sports.
It was a couple days ago. Now, my thing, did they throw up the next guy up? Like, because that's usually how it gets settled. Because how
you throwing at anybody?
I know, but how you police baseball? It sort of is sort of backwards, right? The guy who you can't stand, who did it, is supposed to get pegged. But to keep like the insurance in the game, you hit the next guy. So then the rest of the teammates are mad that he did that because he didn't have to. See where it goes? It's almost like the back in the day, the goon in hockey. Every team had one, maybe even two of them. The Flyers used to have like three of them back in the day. But the thing wasn't what the goon did. It was like, okay, you're going to do that? I'm not going to go pound on like Bobby Clark here at center ice and see what you're going to do about it. Even though he had nothing to do with this, we're just going to beat up your best player. Because that's how you police the sport. It's like, hey, look, it's not me worrying about my actions where I can handle myself. Hey, I'll go sprint around there and slide into the dugout. You hit me with a pitch, I don't care. But Bregman comes up next like, dude, I just got pinned with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball in between my shoulder blades. Thanks for showing everybody up out there, pal. That's usually the way it's done. Now, granted, I usually don't have an issue with it, but I don't advocate throwing at people, but I see why there's an issue with that. I do.
But I just do you not think that, see, and again, like, I know there are some of, like, so old school, like, this would make them want to vomit in their mouth what I'm about to say. Would the response not be then when the Athletics hit a home run, they do the same thing? Like, you know how, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, Donnie. When the Lakers beat the Grizzlies, they all started doing the Ja Morant, it's a parade inside my city, yeah. Because you essentially, when they get their comeuppance, you, like, steal the celebration. How many times have we seen that in the NFL? A celebration stolen. The grit, right? Jalen Hurts, like, I know he kind of does the gritty on his own, but he did it against the Vikings when he scored the rushing touchdown. Like, basically, if you play the Vikings and score, you have to gritty. It's in response to Justin Jefferson. But imagine if the MO was, hey, if Justin Jefferson comes across the middle because he keeps grittying, somebody decapitate him. That's awful for the sport. Look, and I say this, and it sounds crazy when I say it. If I was a batter and I got thrown at, I would proceed to throw my bat back at the pitcher, and then let's see what the story is. Yes, that is not A plus B does not equal C in that scenario ever, Donnie, from the throwing at a batter side of it. And that is always going to be my problem.
Well, which is why baseball is the only sport that does technically have like unwritten rules where nobody officially understands what should take place and what should actually happen. It's why you have like the warnings in dugouts and don't escalate this and that's enough, guys. But it's harmless what he actually did. But in Major League Baseball circles, it's not, if that makes sense. You just, there's no no's that you don't do to show people up. I remember the biggest one was like, there's going to be a revolt in the Padres, you know, dugout when the manager, I forget who the manager was at the time for the Padres, like, hey, Tatis, it's a real pitch. Don't swing at this ball. Yeah. We're blowing this team out. 88-mile-an-hour pitch right down center middle, swings and hits the ball 460 feet.
It's a grand slam.
Exactly. And after the game, the manager's like, well, I actually told him not to swing there, so we're going to have a talk about that later. And the new school guy's like, game. But no, it wasn't the point of showing it up. Is at that point, it was like, hey, when your manager tells you, I'm going to need you to take this pitch, or don't steal second base, or did you see my sign? That's when you're supposed to listen. So a little bit different, but showing up the other team when you're up, it's usually a little bit different. Now, granted, we've seen it in football sports before, right? But probably before you even enjoying your, you know, San Francisco 49ers out there with Terrell Owens when he would run to the star and plant the football, and then it causes a whole melee because there's a lot of disrespect going on here, and rightfully so. Different sports, different times, but baseball has always been that quirky sport where you can't show the other guy up and somebody's got to pay for it with a fastball.
But again, so like my thing is, right, like you, someone stepping on the star, Kyrie stepping on the Celtics logo, like pushing and shoving is a fair game. Throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball is not a fair game that you are playing. And not to relitigate that, because it is a topic that we just happened to not be doing shows together when it was a thing, and it's the most we ever would agree disagreed probably on something ever. I genuinely thought they should have fired the Padres manager that told Tatis not to swing.
If I was the owner, I doubled. I cut Tatis immediately. See ya.
Right, and again, and
go back
to
the White Sox. Exactly. Go back to the White Sox.
Yeah, again, like I thought that was so, because here you can say like you were upset with Tatis for not following the manager's rules, but the manager's rules were, hey, let's not run up the score, which is just not how things work in it's not how things work in Major League Baseball. Like at all. So like at least that's not how things should work in Major League. Again, like put a forfeit rule in then. It's not a timed sport. Like, you should continue to score. Again, like, when these guys, especially with you, someone who cannot stand when position players get out there, like, you should rip the baseball 500. Remember when Anthony Rendon went up lefty against Brett Phillips and hit a home run?
Yes.
Like, that's good for baseball, in my honest. Like, that's what should happen, Donnie. Anthony Rendon shouldn't go out there and lay down a bunt.
But here's what I would like out of it. It's never going to happen. And I say now, you've heard me say this many times, if I'm commissioner, you throw a position player, it's cool. You can do that. It's $5 million every time you do it. Nobody would throw it again. They find a reliever somewhere. It's $5 million fine per franchise. But again, they're not going to do it. But I agree with you in some instances. There are games that are 10-1 heading into the eighth inning, and they're throwing a 50-mile-an-hour pitch from a third baseman here, and it sort of turns into silly season. There really should be a way that they should, you have to complete the game, but you go to the manager, you meet with their umpire and go, we lost the game. We understand that. I know we have to complete this, but we're just going to throw a position player now and get on with it. No stats. We just have to get through the rest of the game. I would love to see that.
But right. So again, and my point in that, Donnie, is that's obviously never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Right? And you're one of the big proponents of this, by the way. Like, we get paid on our stats kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. Essentially, this guy is throwing me $3 million down the plate. I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit of boost at the end of the season with where my statistics are going to line up. And I have to take that deep. If the premise was, hey, do you think that the A's should have a little bit of an issue with what Abreu did there and they should respond? And the response was pushing and shoving, kind of repeating the celebration. That's different. But when the response is, throwing a baseball at a guy standing there with no protection, I'll never say that's acceptable. It's because it's not.
You're going to see a play by Kevin Kiermaier, may be the best center fielder in baseball. You're going to see a play probably on the highlights here in just a few moments. An outrageous play in center field, probably stealing a double at that point. But I understand what you're saying, because you know it would be interesting to go back and be like, oh, whoa, Aaron Judge actually didn't hit that amount of home runs. Why? Well, he had two off Brett Phillips, you know, throughout the season for the Rays. So those did not count in the ninth inning. I mean, nobody's ever going to go back and change it. Statistics are statistics. Now, I got a topic here I'm going to talk about coming up next year. You're going to like this one. Brett McMurphy. We all know who Brett McMurphy is, right, on Twitter?
Yeah.
College football beat writer. What he's tweeting out is making me angrier by the minute. Find out what he's actually doing. That's upsetting me. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As the man said, accurate information. You get it right here on the grid, SiriusXM Channel 159. It is Moneyline. It's the afternoon. It's Thursday. We've got a big NBA game coming up tonight. We will get to that, but the hot topics are flowing in. And one of the things I am always so passionate about in an opposite direction as maybe, I'm going to say shrinking majority now. Like Brett McMurphy started yesterday, like, okay, the bowl season's coming up, and now we got the dates and the times here. And I cringe every time I see it. And tweets like this that just came out. The Cheez-It Bowl is no more. It's now the Pop-Tarts Bowl. It'll be the ACC and Big 12. Probably like the 7th place finisher in the ACC and the 7th place finisher in the Big 12. When are we just going to do away with the bowl game here? Is it going to happen? I understand that ESPN likes bowl season because they don't need to have three people in the stands or anybody care about the game. As long as it's programming, they will pay for it. I understand that. But we're no longer in the 80s and the 90s where it was a big deal to get to a bowl game. Some of these bowl games, quite frankly, embarrassing to me. Now that you have an expanded playoff, there's no need for it. Give the teams just an extra regular season game. I guarantee you people will care way more about that than these nonsense bowls where it's like, hey, West Virginia, we're going to travel to go out into the Arizona Bowl and none of our fans are going to come and we're 5-7 on the season and what a celebration. Why do we do this? I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the answer is sponsorships, right? I mean, Cheez-Its lost it because Pop-Tarts paid more for it. Man, this sounds like a ridiculous conversation that we are having here. But the answer there would be sponsors. I guess the point that I would just circle back to is imagine how much more money they would pay if you were offering them, instead of a bowl game, you were offering them the chance to sponsor a college football playoff game in some capacity there, which obviously, you know, would be massive. Look, we know the bowls are a shrinking concept. I don't think an expanded college football playoff field is going to hurt that, because you already have the big bowls people not playing in, right? I mean, there are people who do not play in the Rose Bowl, which is supposed to be the cream of the crop, right? So if that's the case there, then the only way, to your point, to kind of, oh, how do we get these, you know, these kids to play in the bowl games? Well, it's to turn them into playoff games. That's the answer.
Yes.
That's the answer.
It's the simple answer. You'll never understand a game at the end of the season that you play it that doesn't mean anything. Your last game of the season should be either you stunk and it's the final game and you go home, or, hey, this game means something. If we win this week, we win next week, or if we win this week, we win a championship here. I don't think it was ever designed for, like, hey, there's so many bowl games out here, we don't even take 500 teams anymore. We take under 500 teams if they have good graduation rates. It's just beyond the point. It's outlived its use. And if you just said now, hey, you know what? We're going to have the same bowl season, but instead we're going to turn it into everybody gets in the playoffs there in that bowl season, you would never hear a peep out of me ever again. I'm like, well, Donnie, look at that. The 7th yeah. Big 12 team versus the 6th ACC. Love every minute of it. Playoff game? I'll watch it. Absolutely put me in front of the TV.
Yeah, now look, I don't want a playoff field as big as you do, because you're open to, I mean, I sometimes
30. Can't tell I want if 30.
Serious or not.
Yeah, I want 30.
Like I do not want a playoff field the size that you do. I will say though, you can make that argument without being laughed out of a room when you factor in the amount of bowl games we have and things of that nature in terms of elevating importance. I think that's pretty indisputable at this point.
Yes, and that's the whole name of the game. Make things meaningful. You put an extra playoff team in the NFL, we love it. Only idiots and curmudgeon are like, ah, come on. I like it better than back in the day. Or my favorite argument is like when Major League Baseball in the COVID shortened season basically put everybody in there and you had 7 playoff games in one day. Nobody complained. Oh, I liked it better back in the day when there was, 26 teams and only one made it out of the American League and one in the National League. That was the way to do it. No, it's not. More playoff games are more fun for everybody. And the bowl season is so antiquated now the lower level teams, they'll tell you right now, we think it's good visibility, but we lose money. We lose money going to a bowl game. It's outrageous that that happens in this day and age. Yes. And again, just the bigness of the game. And if you wanted to say to yourself, okay, you got to be in the top 20 to make a bowl game. Say, okay, well, 12 of those teams will probably get eaten up by the play-in. 8 teams left. 4 bowl games will make an exception. I'm like, okay, I can sort sort of buy into that, but you're right. It started to go up in flames when it became in vogue, and rightfully so to these kids. They're going, now let me get this straight. Just played 11 games. This game doesn't mean anything except for my head coach that'll probably get like a $100,000 bonus if he wins it. If I get injured, I think I'm a third rounder. I don't get drafted. If I sit it out, I could probably get drafted. Yeah, I'm not playing in this football game. When that turned into, unless you're in a playoff game, I'm not playing because it doesn't make sense, I loved it. And it started to turn me against bowl season, going like, why do we care? Like, when the bowl season used to come out, Kevin, I'm talking the year 2000, right? Hey, look, right. Everybody has a bowl pool out here, right? Circle the teams in, you got like, okay, like this team, like this team, like this team. Try that today. Try that today and go, well, I can't fill this out for another 2 weeks because this team might lose 11 of 22 starters because they don't want to play anymore. Like, oh, this guy's a great quarterback here. And he's going to pick this team and he lets you say it's UCLA. Well, hold on now. Who's playing? Yeah, red shirt freshman who's never played before, who's sixth on the depth chart. He's getting run because why? Three guys hit the portal, one guy's injured, and one guy left for the NFL. Stop it. Just stop with bowl season.
And I think the one thing is, because I know people get mad, like, oh, why don't these kids care? But it's, yes, I know you can get injured at any time. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind when guys play. You know, was I surprised that Bryce Young played? No, yeah, I was surprised, but it's not like I was like, man, what a fool. Oh, cool. All right, Bryce Young played. Great. But, you know, especially as a Notre Dame fan, Jalen Smith, his life, mm-hmm. fundamentally, massively changed because he played in that Rose Bowl game.
Was it Ohio State?
Here's the thing. Yes, it was Ohio State. Who cares, right? Which bowl, what the bowl name it was.
Yes.
But he played in it. And, I mean, he shredded his leg so bad. They're like, do you think this guy's going to ever, like, play football again? And he still went in the mm-hmm. second damn round because he was mm-hmm. such a spectacular player. But he was never the same guy. And, obviously, you know, it cost him life-changing money. And, potentially, if that injury never happens. And, again, I know that it's very butterfly effect. But you can't ignore that fact that happened to that kid. And, look, you know, here's one of the sneaky things, by the way. Jackson Smith and Jigba essentially sat out an entire damn year and didn't even come back, and they were in the college football playoff because he was like, well, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all good. You know what I mean?
That was like, good. Like, hey, by the way, he's healthy enough to play. It's like, oh, that could be a big boost. And both sides are like, yeah, it's not happening. Like, he's not going to play for a national championship because technically at that point, it really didn't make sense. Willis McGahee back in 2002 when they played Ohio State, the Miami Hurricanes, his leg exploded in the third quarter. He actually still got drafted in the first round, which just shows you the shenanigans that Drew Rosenhaus can pull off. But it's happened before. But also, there are ways around this because kids will use that, like, oh, it doesn't play for, don't get injured. You can ask your school, like, hey, take out a $25,000 policy on Lloyd's of London that I'm a third-round draft picker, supposed to be there. If I lose draft value, you pay for it. But again, we get to the point of kids are going to play, and rightfully so, and be excited to have one last ride with their teammates when things matter. The minute they don't matter, you owe it to yourself to stay healthy and move on and say, well, hold on. Instead of me leaving school right now where I'm going to get an agent, he's going to float me a line of credit. He's going to fly me to Florida. He's going to get me with the best trainers. I'm going to work out at IMG Academy. And I'm going to get studying for this test known as the Combine. And I'm going to get paid millions of dollars. Or I can stay on campus for 3.5 weeks, practice, get beat up, and then go in a game that does not matter, and I might get injured. It doesn't make any sense anymore in order to do that. So hopefully it changes and adds more games that mean something because there are so much fluff on these schedules, man. You're talking about playing three games of cupcakes. Instead of just cut those out, you can make everybody happy and make these schools so much more money. It hurts.
But the thing is, they want those cupcakes there. You're not going to fundamentally be able to change all those things. And yeah, I know you know that, right? But like Alabama, now again, it is hilarious that Nick Saban doesn't understand why he can't sell out a Citadel game. That
I
part
love
is,
him.
Is
I love
hilarious.
Him for his comments in the past.
Yeah, I mean, but basically everybody over there involved with Alabama, I think at some points is just kind of saying some of the crazier things you'll hear. I'll never get over Will Anderson saying they were underdogs going into the game against Cincinnati. I'll never forget it. It's just one of the most preposterous things, truly, you will ever hear anybody say. But I think this is where the notion of expansion works. We're getting 12. I wanted 16. Donnie's very aggressive and wanted 32. You know, the problem, again, that I still have, and this you and I see eye to eye on, is I just still don't think they've got the for not even the amount of teams. I don't think the format is nailed down here in the way that it should be.
No, it's not. And hopefully that'll get worked out here. But also, Nick Saban, the one thing that he has over Alabama is there's no upgrade from Nick Saban. Like when he loses a game, like you hear a little guff from like the fans. And I remember the one season that his contract was agreed to. And I remember Paul Feinbaum picking up like a month and a half later after the season goes, by the way, that contract was never signed. And Alabama callers call enough, give him whatever he wants. Does he want more money? You got to give him more money. So I remember that time back in the day where I think it was the Citadel at home in like September. And they're up like 38-0 at the break. The kids were like, it's hot out here. It's the sun. This is boring as all get out. We're leaving the drink in the parking lot or head back to the dorms or sorority houses. And Nick Saban basically gave the point like, you don't want to show up. We're like, I don't have to be here either. Oh, you know what? Kids, stay in the stands. Don't you dare leave. You better stay to the last minute. But it's always the joke, right? When you have NFL tickets, right? Let's say you're a season ticket holder, me for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know you're getting a professional product each and every week. At least that's what you anticipate. Never was there a time that I went down to the stadium and go, Pop, man, let's leave in the first quarter, man. I mean, they're up 48-0 over this B team that was just thrown into the NFL here. You get the sense. But think about that. In college, like let's just say you are in the SEC. Home games get split up. It's like, Pops, we got like two good games this year. It's A&M and it's Auburn. Everybody else, we roll with a 35.5 point spread here. It's a little bit different of a dynamic than what the pros have, but I used to get a kick out of that where he's generally flabbergasted that people aren't excited for the Citadel game that they're favored by 57.5 points. And I think he's really being truthful and honest when he's like, I don't get it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why are you guys leaving early? And they're going like, Nick, don't you understand why are we actually leaving early? It's not because we don't like Alabama football.
Yeah. It is such a pop though. He's like, but again, like that's there is, I guess, to be successful at that, like a party has to be crazy. I mean, Saban also had just one of the most dominant performances.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't work out, but him, Donnie, trying to convince them that Alabama should be like the fourth team over TCU and
so
everything
good.
This year, like, he's just smiling and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, man, it was great. Well, of course you bought it because you're hilarious in that.
Yes.
You essentially would be willing
there.
To submit.
Oh, man.
You would submit, like, who should be in.
Yes.
Like, before any games are played. Mm-hmm. Like, I already know the
I didn't need records.
So whatever,
yeah, I didn't need records. I just saw the teams, like, this is what we need to have in here. And if I was on the committee, like, records would, like, TCU would be, like, 21st in the country unbeaten at the end of the year. That was the way it was feeling for me at this point. Every single game they played, I hope they lost just because I wanted a different four. And I always love the people, too, that do this, Kevin. It's the LeBron theory. Man, it's so good when LeBron finally gets knocked out of the playoffs. Oh, is it? Ratings-wise, fan-wise, stop the man. It's like, I get so tired of Alabama playing. Why? Because they put out first-rounder after first-rounder and superstar player? Yeah, we want to see a MAC team in the finals. Stop the madness over here. By the way, don't even get me started on some of these auto bids that are about to happen in the playoffs with no business to be there. Oh, man, we got grievances today. Come on back to Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Couple two-out walks here. You end up paying for it. McNeil singles in. Nimmo, 2-1 now. Bottom of the third inning, two outs, man on first and third. Other scores out here. Toronto Blue Jays 3-0 over the Milwaukee Brewers. That game is in the bottom of the third inning. And the Padres and the Marlins, top of the fourth inning, 1-1. And as I said, look out for Kim and Tatis at the top of that lineup. Well, Tatis does have an RBI double. I did not bet it. I'm upset with myself. Could have put some pizza money in my pocket, but I didn't. But at the end of each and every hour number one, right here on Moneyline, it's time to find out where JP is going with his wagers. Now, JP, you could have used some of these runs last night, right? What happened out there?
Yeah, apparently this is what the Yankees do. You think they're hot, and then they put up absolutely nothing.
I had to do a double take, by the way, JP. Yeah, when I woke up and I saw 1-0, I had to do a double take what that even meant in that game. It didn't make any sense to me, to be honest. Extra innings, 1-0 in a game where the Yankees, or a series where the Yankees were crushing double digits. So today, I'm going to assume that on this short Major League Baseball schedule to end the day, we're not going there, and it will be an NBA prop. Is that correct?
It will. It'll be points, rebounds, and assist market.
Yeah, I know who it is. I already got it, so I don't even have to think anymore. I got it.
Do you? Oh gosh! Uh-huh. Do you have? Yep. You should have. Two, do you have two answers or just one?
Oh, all right, I'll come up with
you.
Two
I got
answers.
Some stuff. To, yeah, yeah, no, no, no. But you, I mean, you're all good. I got some stuff, by the way, to give the people on hour number two for the final. Some stuff that we can't get into in the morning. Kind of got to go elsewhere for it. So that'll be. I think we will have some time. We should get into that, Donnie. That'll be good stuff.
By the way, getting after JP's picks here in Major League Baseball, nail on every one of those. I seem to not be able to pick an NBA game to save my life with JP. So we're going, and what did you say it was again? It was a prop in the NBA? Player prop?
Yeah,
points, rebounds, and assists? Okay,
yep.
Points, rebounds, and assists. Nuggets heavy favorite tonight, 219 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. There is an odds boost out there tonight, which I think is dynamite at a plus 300. A little climbing that ladder today. Find out what it is. Hour number two coming up next right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.